You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that. He said the things that are of the Spirit are foolishness to those who don't know the Lord. Amen? Amen. He can't even understand them. See, you may be here a little bit this morning, and you may not even understand what I'm saying. But I'll tell you one thing is the Holy Spirit will be able to talk to your heart. He can manage to get into your heart. He can manage to get to you and speak to you and say, you need Jesus Christ today. Amen? Amen. So start bringing the unsaved, if you haven't been already. Don't just hold this all to yourself. Amen? Just start bringing the unsaved. Well, you know, we don't might not start on time or something one time. You know, that's okay. You know, bring them over like you'd bring them over to your house. Amen? Buy them coffee before you get here. Buy them coffee when you get here. It's free. Amen. That'd be powerful. Amen. It's already made. Brother Danny was here. He was here early and he made it. Praise God. Between prayers, he made it. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you and we love you and we give you glory and we give you praise. Father, we thank you for your word, which is able to save our souls. Our souls need saving. Maybe our hearts have been born. We've been born again from the heart. Our spirits are alive. Our spirits are hearing the truth and hearing the Word of God. But our souls, that is the mind, the will, the emotions, those parts of us who interact with the world and interact with our families, they seem to have a little bit of trouble from time to time. But the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, is transforming us and changing us and causing us to put off the old world and to put on Christ. So, Father, we thank you today that you're going to minister to us about that. We thank you for the book of Ephesians. We thank you that for the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of this New Testament by the infilling of the Holy Spirit, by the prompting and by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because he had read the entire Old Testament, and when the Holy Spirit touched it, it became the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we just give you praise and thank you for all of these things that the Apostle Paul has been privileged to show and to teach by the hand of the Holy Spirit and by the mouth of Jesus Christ. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, it's good to know. You know, of course, Saul wrote most of the New Testament, but he was the smartest man in the Jewish religion, at least for that day, you know, at least by his own testimony, but he was a student of the best students, student of the best teachers, and he came in, when God touched him on the road to Damascus, that knowledge, that understanding of the Scripture was turned on its head. I mean, he was out destroying the church, and immediately he turned around to begin to build the church. Amen? And that's so powerful, because God can change you just like that. God can change you just like that. You know, you think you're hopeless. You think there's nothing that God can do for you. You think you just barely got in to the kingdom of God. I want you to know right now that God can do something on the inside of you. You just trust Him. Just open this Bible. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly, and God will change you. He'll get rid of that sin. He'll get rid of it. Well, I need to get rid of my sins. No, God gets rid of your sins. Amen? He crucified, that flesh is crucified. You just agree to it. You just agree to it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for getting rid of my sins. Thank you for delivering me. You know, so much of what happens with sin is that it just gets in your way. You ever notice that in your house? In your life, in the rest of your life, don't worry about trying to be good for God. In fact, stop being good for God. Okay? Stop being good for God. Your problem is that you can't even run your own life. Amen? Kenneth Hagin used to say you get smarter when you get saved. Because the foolishness and the stupidity that comes along with living in this world is replaced by the wisdom of God. God replaces stupidity with the wisdom of God. And I just want you to know that if you feel dumb today, if you feel stupid today, you feel like you haven't made it today, God is transforming you. Just come into His presence. Just come in and worship at His feet and open that Bible. Don't try to figure it out. You know, Pastor Jim will tell you that. Don't read it to figure it out. Don't read it to get a lesson. Don't read it to get a five-point process of how you're going to change your life and get your life straightened out. Just read it. And just rest in the living room with the Holy Spirit, and He's going to speak to you, and He's going to talk to you, and you're going to enjoy His presence. And all of a sudden, one, day by day, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Everybody say, here a little, there a little. That's it. Isn't it? You can kind of repeat that. You can kind of make a song out of that. Here a little, there a little. You know, Teresa could make that for little kids. You know, here a little, there a little. It's that's how he transforms you. That's how he changes you. Okay? So just remember that and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to come to church. Don't be afraid to invite anybody to church. All they're going to do, the worst that could happen is they could get saved. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, they might get mad. Well, that's fine. That's fine. At least they heard it. You know, usually people don't get mad unless they heard something. If they heard it, they got mad. You know, so just let them hear something. And it begins to work on the inside of them. You ever had anything like that? You heard something, it started to work on the inside of you. Now, usually it works out in a bad situation. You get mad later. But no, this one, God begins to speak to you and change you and transform you. It's so powerful. I like to talk about stuff like this, you know, sometimes just to kind of roll in and get started, just to get you off of your, whatever it was you were thinking about. To get you off of your, you know, whatever it was this morning that kind of got your attention, you know, is making you think about something else. You know, I just want you to be encouraged today that God loves you. He loves you. Yeah, call you by your name. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we had begun in this a while back, the last time we were together. And so I'm going to, you'll have to go back and get that message, get that tape. And my goodness, you can't turn things off. All right, praise the Lord. You know, you got your phone ringing and you turn your phone off and then your iPad starts ringing because it thinks you really want that call. And that was a church member. Probably tell me why they weren't at church yet. Amen. In fact, they're probably listening on Facebook right now. How do I get on Facebook? Over here in verse, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 15. We just got through talking about there, about the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers who are called and set apart and appointed for the... Let's read it. For the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. So, pastors and evangelists, pastors, apostles, and prophets are called for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. How many know sheep make sheep? Amen? How many know shepherds don't make sheep? It's absolutely impossible. Now, a shepherd in his sheep, in his capacity as a sheep, makes sheep. But a sheep, in their capacity as sheep, learners, those who are the children of God, they're the ones who are making sheep. So that's why, so in other words, you're bringing the gospel to somebody else. It doesn't work if just I'm the only one, or Danny's the only one, or Dave Cooper's the only one. You know, he might have left the room, and then what would happen? You know, we'd have to find somebody else. Maybe we'd have to get Walter or Joyce or Maya to make sheep. You know, and they got all the equipment. How many know sheep have all the equipment to make sheep? Amen. Praise the Lord. So basically, you're going to make sheep. You're going to tell somebody else the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're going to talk to them about Jesus. You're going to live with them. You're going to work with them, work alongside them. Amen. You're going to teach alongside them. You're going to raise your children together out at the soccer field. You know, you're going to be together with people day after day after day. It doesn't mean you beat them over the head, but what it does mean is that you live in front of them as Jesus Christ. You live in front of them as a child of God. You live in front of them filled with the Holy Spirit. They see you more often than they see me. Amen? They don't see me very often. I mean, if you ever drag them to church, they might see me. But you see these folks day after day after day, and they're seeing you. And they see how you walk. And they see the joy that you have and the peace that you have. So all of these gifts of God are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You build up each other as you walk along, as you meet together in your homes. You meet together with the body of Christ and you are encouraging and building up one another. You're calling somebody and encouraging them today. Amen? That's what's happening. That's what I'm here to encourage you and to build you up to do. That's what we're going to do today, opening the Word of God. You know, these letters that Paul writes and Peter and James, and they write these letters for the encouragement of the churches. These letters were passed around to declare the doctrine of God to the churches. It's how we should live. First of all, how God manifested Himself and transformed us and changed us. But then after that, how God came and lived on the inside of us. And then what we expect to see lived out daily in our existence. All right? So as you're living out daily in your existence, you see something that's like you're still punching people in the face. You think, okay, that's probably not... I go back to the Scripture and it says, thou shalt not... Don't be punching people in the face. Well, I can't hardly help it. I seem to do it a lot. You know, I seem to do it all the time. I seem to swear at people, you know, and that type of thing. I don't anymore. And I was one of those Christians who was guilty all the time. I never did anything particularly evil. I was wicked because of sin, but I was always in church, so I was always like trying to be good. Yeah, as if that was going to get me credit. It got me stars in Sunday school. That's about as good as it got. Amen? You really can't cash those in very... You know, Anna's been trying to cash those in, you know, for those Sunday school stars. And the older she gets, they just don't seem to be... They don't seem to be working, do they? You know, then you got to just say, Jesus, could you pay me in some real money? Could you pay me in some real truth and change me and do something? You know. So you want to make sure that you don't let a kid know. You let a kid know early that the stars in Sunday school aren't going to be the one thing that carries you through. Sorry, Lucy. Yeah, Lucy's still getting them. And because she's great in Sunday school. But I don't know how good she is the rest of the time. Now you have to share with her. Pastor Dave loves her. He's not making fun of her. Amen. It's good to have young people in church. Bring more. So these guys aren't always getting picked on. Amen. Bring your grandkids. See, maybe they'll just bring more so we can pick on them. Pick on their friends. So, but look here. So these gifts are all for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we... Hereafter, no more be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We talked about that last time. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. But speaking the truth in love, that's your normal operation. It's not something you're attempting to do. That's normal for you. Really? Doesn't seem to be. Seems to be the opposite. No. The normal for you is speaking the truth in love. Is forgiving one another. Blessing one another. Especially those who are your enemies. Those who are a little rough on you at your daily activities. All right? Speaking the truth in love. So what he's saying here is, he's not commanding you to do it. He's demonstrating and telling you, here's what it looks like. Because out of everything that he spoke of in the first three chapters describing who you are in Christ Jesus, this is the sum, as he says in another place. Of all the things that we have said unto you, this is the sum. This is the final portion of what we're saying to you. This is what the outcome is. Amen. It's good to have an outcome that's already determined by the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not, okay, now, since I've told you everything you're supposed to do, let's do it. Everybody stand up, come down the main aisle, and we'll pray and lay hands on you and put a little fear on you so that you'll do this stuff. No, absolutely not. You have to have a real Jesus. You have to have a real Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Amen? I said amen? Amen. Oh, good. Praise the Lord. You know the message gets quicker when you say that. Amen. Yeah, there you go. See, amen. We see, we count them. We got Monica back there counting the amens, and when she pulls up a sign, say, "We got them," then we can quit. All right. So, but speaking the truth, this is verse 15, chapter 4 of Ephesians. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up. We grow up on the inside. Grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Christ is the head of the church. Pastor's not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. Amen. Jesus is the head of the church. Praise the Lord. But He appointed pastors. All right? So, He is the head, even Christ, from whom, from Jesus, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. That's a mouthful, isn't it? According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. Janet and I were out looking at cars yesterday. That sounds kind of like a car getting built, doesn't it? You know, every part works. You know, you put a turn, you don't have a key anymore. You punch the button, you know, put your foot on the brake, punch the button, grab the steering wheel, turn on your Christian music, But if you don't have a CD player, you have to do something else. So, because some of them, they don't even have that anymore. I feel really old. Where's the CD player? I'm still looking for the cassette player. Yeah, praise the Lord. You see this hair? It's his wisdom and old age. All right. So that which every joint supplies. Now look here, if you're making any notes, which is always good for you to do, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can go to Romans chapter 12. Isn't that easy? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and you can find gifts. You can find the gifts of God about teaching and about how God ministers. Amen? How God ministers to you and through you and does things in you. And these are the gifts that he's talking about here, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted or joined together. Maybe that's like mortar. Holding it together by that which every joint, you know, a joint is a masonry term. The joint is where the bricks and the base are put together by the cement. Because we're building a building, right? We're building a building. By that which every joint supplies, one brick upon another, mortar upon mortar, holding the thing together, sideways, front to back, top to bottom. That's how God is building His church. You are one, he says in another place, we're members one of another. You know, over in 1 Corinthians 12 it says, the foot can't say to the hand, I don't have any need of you. The toe can't say to the ear. I know I'm extrapolating because it doesn't say that specific one. But the toe can't say to the ear, you know, I don't have any need of you. No, you got that. The toe needs to hear the ears. You know, the ear, when it hits that and you yell out, your ear needs to hear it. So you'll know something's wrong. So you need to be able to help one another. By that which every joint supplies, maketh increase of itself to the edifying, encouraging, building up, strengthening itself, the whole body, not just each other, but he says building itself in love. All right? So that's what these gifts are all about, is to build you up so that you begin to love one another and have the same care, it says in another place. Have the same care for one another. All right? Now, sometimes it's hard to have the same care for one another. You got plenty of care for yourself. I mean, there's a lot of trouble in the world, isn't there? I mean, there's things, you know, you got all kinds of appointments everywhere. You got to be somewhere. You got to do something. You got kids. You got grandkids. You got something. And then all of a sudden, you got somebody else who needs something. Somebody else who has something that went wrong. You know. And so what you want to do is you want to say, okay, Lord, just give the Holy Spirit time to do it. You know what? You don't have to do everything that comes along. Some people do. Some people feel like they have to. No, what you need to do is just need to hear the Holy Spirit. You just need to hear the Holy Spirit. If it's time for you to, that brother or sister gives you a call, you're supposed to pray, you know, because you've got somebody else has got something on fire in your house, you know, or there's a circumstance that requires your attention in your family. You don't get to just drop the ball. Sometimes you want to drop the ball and run. Uh-huh. So, oh, I got to go do something for so-and-so. You know, and then you drop the ball at home. You don't need to do that. What you need to do is hear the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of you just get up and run because you don't want to be where you're at. I know that happens. Now, some of you, you don't ever want to get up and go anywhere. But listen to the Holy Spirit. Because you know what's going to happen is He's going to begin to use you. That's like, you know, if you're given a gift, given a little bit, God will give you more. Well, I don't know if I want that more of that. No, but He's going to begin to use you and train you and show you how to walk in the Spirit as you listen and as you move forward. Amen? You start out when you're, a lot of times, you want to start out when you're young. Or you start out where you are. I just say you start out where you are. Encourage young people to hear the Holy Spirit, right? Encourage young people to hear the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't know if Esther's listening in England right now, you know. But, you know, young people have different ideas on whether or not they're going to continue to do something or not do something. You know, well, should I do this? Should I do that? You know, and they've kind of got a little room, you know, because they don't have to quit their job to do it, especially if they're in school or something like that, you know. You know, if Dave decided he wanted to do something different, he'd probably have to quit his job and go do something else. Don't do that. Shannon's sitting right there. How many know I did not tell David Cooper to quit his job? Amen. Pastor Dave said. But what you're going to do is, these young people like Esther's over there kind of decide, well, should I stay the whole time with this whole mission that I'm on, you know? And so we say, well, here's what you do. You pray. You hear the Holy Spirit. You hear God. You learn how to hear God. That's one of the good things to do when you're young is learn how to hear God. Kind of stretch your Holy Spirit wings. He doesn't have wings, by the way. You know, the Bible doesn't even say, you know, some angels, some cherubims have wings, but not all angels have wings. You know, if you look at the Bible. Angels don't sing either. They say. But we'll have another sermon on that later. Praise the Lord. All right. Now look here. So verse 17 says, here's where we're starting today, by the way. This I say, and therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you walk hereafter walk, not as other Gentiles walk, because he's talking to the Ephesians, right? The Ephesians are a Gentile city. In fact, if you go back in the book of Acts, they worship the goddess Diana, right? If you go back into the book of Acts, you'll hear them, you know, they're Paul and Barnabas, or Paul and Silas, I can't remember which one. You remember which one? Ephesus. Paul and Silas? Okay, thank you for that. Pastor Danny. Johnny on the spot. All right, so they're in Ephesus, and they're preaching the gospel, and all of a sudden, the folks down there who are worshiping Diana get all excited, and they have a rally of their own. You know, blessed be God, the goddess Diana of the Ephesians. And they said it for like 2 hours because they didn't like Jesus, so they wanted to have Diana. You know, the interesting thing about it, though, was when those guys get taken off into jail or hauled off, you know, because everything is going into a ruckus, you know. What's funny is the guy who is busy making the Diana statues ends up later on trying to get Paul and Silas up as Jupiter and Mercury, the two gods, you know, because that seems to be the way things go. And that just shows you how marketing is, and that just shows you how the world is fickle, saying, okay, well, I guess Diana's on the down, and Jesus is on the up. I think I'll sell some Jesus stuff. So he starts making Paul and Silas statues instead of Diana statues. I got another joke about the halo statue, but that'll be for another sermon. All right. So he says, and he testifies in the Lord, that you walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. So the Ephesians are Gentiles. So they're worshiping other gods. They're not Jews. They're worshiping other gods. But he's telling them, don't, as other Gentiles, these are the ones who have already been born again, already part of the church of the Ephesians, to the church at Ephesus. And he says, do not walk as other Gentiles walk. How do they walk? In the vanity of their mind. You almost go home. Don't walk in the vanity of your mind. You know, that could mean a lot of things. You know, some of the things means is thinking everything you think that comes into your mind is a thought that you ought to get started on and go do and pay attention to. You know what? There's a lot of thoughts in your mind that are just plain junk. Amen. There's a lot of thoughts in your mind that you really don't even need to pay attention to. There's a lot of thoughts that come into your mind that are wicked, evil, and of the devil. And they want to tell you how to kick that person instead of love that person. Amen? You ever had one of those thoughts? I have. Yeah, I've had those thoughts. Praise the Lord. More than once. Praise the Lord. So don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind. Don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind. That vanity of your mind will get a hold of you. It'll start trying to train your thoughts to think like this world thinks. And you'll see that on TV, and you'll see that on Facebook, and you'll see that on TikTok. And I'm trying to name some of the stuff so I seem cool. On TikTok and quick, give me another one. Brenna, help me. Instagram. I mean, your mom might know, but she's old. She's not as old as I am, but you know. Praise the Lord. What? Snapchat. How'd you know that? MySpace. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord, help me. So don't walk in the vanity of your mind. That, and the vanity of your mind is you'll take that thing and you'll put that to heart. Take that to heart. No. You begin to take the Word of God to heart. Amen. You go back to the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You go back to the Word of God. You meditate upon the Word of God. You come into the presence of the Holy Spirit and let Him talk to you. Give Him some space. That's the space you need. My space is Jesus' space. The space of where I'm going to give Jesus space in my heart, in my mind. Give Him some time. Amen. I want you to give Him some time. Hallelujah. Slow down a little bit. So don't walk as other Gentiles walk. That is verse 17. Ephesians 4:17. I want you to write that one down. I want you to read that one some more. Amen. Type it in your little note thing. Walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And what happens in that case? Having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's the description of walking in the vanity of your mind. So don't do that. Who being past feeling. So walking in the vanity of your mind will have you past feeling. Having given yourselves over to lasciviousness, that's just sin. That's just natural mind and physical manifestations of all kinds of sin. To work all uncleanness with greediness. So it's greediness. So it's never having enough. Always seeking more. Your needs are not supplied by Jesus. Your needs are only supplied by your activity and your effort to fill up your own coffer, to fill up your own needs. That's what the whole of the human life is apart from God, is all of these, is these things, is filling up your own needs. And you become aware of it as you pray. It's not that God doesn't want you to bless you or you to have the things that are a blessing in life, but what He does want you to do is not those things have you. In other words, you're chasing those things day after day, time after time. Those things consume your thoughts. Maybe you're not good enough at it to think about how could I manage to figure it out. You know? You know, I've always said, how in the world did they come up with that wonderful idea? Somebody came up with this cool, wonderful idea, and they're just making it happen. You know, my thought is, wow, wish I'd come up with that. How'd they come up with that? You know, I'm good at calling out the business that's going in down to the side of the road and saying, that'll never make it. Are y'all like that? You know, you see somebody spending all their life savings. You know, I should be praying for her. Right, Larry? I should be praying for her. Lord, bless that business right there. But in your mind, you're going, your thought's going, that thing will never make it. That's either the wrong location, the wrong product, or they really don't have any idea of how to decorate or draw people in. You know, just you're wondering how in the world that thing would ever make it. You know what? God could make that make it. Do you know that? God could make something make it that you never thought would ever work. I'm sure Facebook was probably that. I'm not. Obviously, that guy's not following God, as far as I know. But I want you to know that God doesn't want you thinking about all those things consuming you all the time, about what you need to do with greediness, those things, and following after your own lusts, following after your own desires. Amen? He wants you to just realize that He loves you absolutely, and He's finished everything for you ahead of schedule. Amen? Hallelujah. God's finished everything for me ahead of schedule. Amen. I'm happy as I can be. Amen? What a dummy. You know, people look at me and go, what a dummy. You know, that guy thinks he's gonna make it. No, I've already made it. And not only am I going to make it, I've already made it. Praise the Lord. Are you like me? Amen. Yes, you are. If you trust Jesus, if you trust God, He's going to minister and take care of all of your needs. All He's saying for you to do is stay in His presence. Stay in His presence and love the brothers. Love their sisters. Amen. Hallelujah. So verse 20 says, okay, verse 19, we'll finish up with that. Being past feeling, having given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. So, don't walk as other Gentiles walk with all of this trouble, because you haven't learned Christ in that way. That's not how you've learned. If so be that you have heard Him, and have been taught by Him as the truth, is in Jesus. That you, listen to this now, that you, now how does that happen? How does it work out? How does it work? That you put off concerning the former conversation, that is, back in verse 17, walking in the vanity of your mind. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the word of the old man. You put off. The conversation means, in King James English, means your manner of living, which was the old man. So you put off the old man. Well, how do you do that? How do you put off the old man? Amen. Well, let's look. Okay, John 13, 34 to 35. Says, a new commandment I give you. John. This is the Gospel of John. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to the other. Okay? So, to put off the old man is to love one another. To love one another. So you take what God gave you, the promise that He gave you, He is going to indwell you, and you're going to love your neighbor. Well, I don't want to love my neighbor. And my neighbor stinks. My neighbor's a dirty rat. You know, Jim talked, one of our pastors talked about his neighbors being two homosexual guys. And they love them. They don't go over and beat on them put up signs outside in your yard crucifying the people next door. What they do is they wave at them. They'll go over and talk to them in the yard. You go over and tell them about Jesus. Not in a way that's to destroy them, but in a way that is going to encourage them. Amen? That's what you do. You know, when you're going to tell somebody about Jesus, you're not going to destroy them because of their sins, because they don't know any better. All they're doing is sinning. They're just like you were. So you go over and you just love them. Take them a cake. Take them a cake! You know, or bless them, or, you know, say something. Buy them tickets to the Mavericks, if that's what you like to do, or, you know. Take them with you. Do something, a blessing for them. Amen? And give yourself an opportunity to minister. Give yourself an opportunity to be a friend to somebody. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, well, the Bible says don't be with those people. Well, how are you going to save them if you're not with them? He just says don't do the things they do. That's what he's telling you. Don't follow after their example. Let them follow after your example. Be a lover. Be a blessing to them. Transform yourself into an angel of light by the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's what the church is about, isn't it? Hallelujah. About loving the world. You know, you remember we talked about when Jesus came in, or Jesus' parents brought him into the temple, and Simeon, the old man, and then Anna, the old lady, were there, and they were just so thrilled that the consolation of Israel had arrived, that this was the promised Messiah. And he says, what did he say? He quoted Isaiah, says, this is a light to lighten the Gentiles. So he says, here, don't walk like other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind and all that stuff. But what he does say is that you're a light to them. Jesus said it. He said, you're the light to the world. Amen. You are the light to the world. Not the burn it down fire. That's later. Okay? You're not the fire to the world. You're not the burn it down to the world. You are, in fact, the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And your job is to share the gospel. Amen. To love folks. Amen. You know, we have so much in the world, you know, even in the political realm, I can't even say it, is that you have all these people who are the righteous people, but I mean, they are just the meanest people I've ever seen. These are the meanest Christians I've ever seen. You know, they're determined, you know, that they're going to, you know, it's like they want to burn the place, burn their neighbor down, you know. I mean, we got so much of that going on. Amen. They're probably listening to me right now. Praise the Lord. No, you didn't go work hard to get your legislation passed and all that, but don't be crucifying people individually and personally. They don't understand. If they're on the wrong track, then it's because you haven't properly ministered to them with your fist. No. You haven't properly ministered to them with your harsh words. No. You haven't properly ministered to them the love of God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's just something. Praise the Lord. Well, yeah, we're not talking about the bad people. We're just talking about the bad legislators. Well, the bad legislators need your love too. They need to know the truth. They're bound up by all kinds of stuff. That's, you know, I can imagine the kind of pressure those guys are under, you know, to do, and they're afraid. Because, I mean, you know, one thing I found is Texas legislators, they have to have their own business, you see. They don't get paid anything, hardly. They don't get paid a salary. It's not like Congress. You know, they don't get paid anything. So, you know, with this culture that we've got now, you remember how everything is, you do something wrong, they'll just destroy you. They'll just cancel you plumb. You know, they'll tell you everybody to not go to your business anymore. They'll destroy your business back home with your wife and kids. You know, some of these guys don't make millions of dollars. Some of these guys, you know, have a business that's probably barely making it, but they decided to get in here and do. And so they're under tons and tons of pressure to do the right thing, and yet, you know, they've got people working to destroy them from the top down. So pray for them and minister to them. Have an opportunity. Don't let them off the hook, but come alongside them to help. Amen? I mean, if there's a righteous thing to do, come alongside them and be part of the solution instead of just yelling You know, because they only work 5 months out of every 2 years. It's probably a good thing to, the less government is in session, is probably costing you less money. Amen. So Texas is wonderful. They're only in session 5 months out of the year, 5 months out of every 2 years, and they don't even pay their guys anything. I mean, that's a pretty good deal. Some of these other places have full-time legislatures. Think of New York. I mean, they pay their guys just like they do in Congress. They probably pay them more. So what I'm telling you today is to love them, to bless them, to be a part of the solution. I'm talking to you today about putting on Christ and walking in love. Putting on Christ and walking in love. You are the demonstration of the gospel in the world. And so let the Holy Spirit work and flow on the inside of you. This is not about Jesus liking you. He already likes you. He's not trying to get you to shape up, do something so he'll like you better. No, He absolutely loves you. He's forgiven you from the top to the bottom. Amen? And the only reason you're here is to demonstrate that love to somebody else. All of your needs are supplied by His riches and glory, by Christ Jesus. You don't need to be greedy. You don't need to be lascivious. You don't need to go find something for yourself to get your hands on to meet your needs. Jesus Christ has met all of your needs. Verse 22, again, he says that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is what? Corrupt, according to the deceitful lust. So your old man is corrupt. Just give it up. Okay? Your old man is corrupt. Just give it up. And listen, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So put off the old man which is corrupt. So what's the difference? Is being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Over in later on here in Ephesians, it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. He said, gird your loins with truth. Put about your private parts. Gird your loins with truth. Put truth around you to protect you, to care for you, to keep you whole, and to keep you holy. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you're renewed in your mind. And what happens, begins to happen when your mind is renewed, you have, by renewing your mind with the Word of God, you have put off the old man by putting on the new man. Don't worry about trying. Putting off the old is as easy as putting on the new. Well, I'm trying to put off the old. Stop it. Put on the new. Put on the new. Renew your mind. Get into the Scripture. Let the Word of God transform and change you. You'll be changed. You'll be changed. That you might demonstrate. So there's a proof in the pudding. That you might prove. It's like the proving grounds where they test the cars out at 120 miles an hour. Push them to the limit. This is the proving ground right here. They're pushing you to the limit by the Holy Ghost. All right? So, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That means you're growing. You're growing up. Growing up in Him, which is the head, even Christ. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, gird up the, just like Ephesians, gird up the loins of your mind. Same thing. Gird up the loins of your mind with that truth, with the truth of God's promise, and with the truth of His completed salvation work. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man. Okay, here it comes. That you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He's created in righteousness and true holiness. You're putting on that new man. Wherefore, and here's what it looks like. Putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You know, lying is just easy. Easier. You ever found that lying is easier? Sometimes lying is easier than telling the truth. Kids know that. Did you do that? No. You sure? Yeah. you're not going to do that again, are you? No. Do what? Trying to avoid suffering. That's right. It's easier. It's easier just to deny. Did you sin? No. You know, like Eve with the tree, or Adam with, who did that? She did. Eve, who did it? That serpent there did it, I mean, it's just that's the way of things, right? We just tend to put off the blame. So put away lying, because there's no blame. Put away lying. You don't need to lie anymore. If you did it, say it. I did it, yeah. Because God has already forgiven it. God's already forgiven it. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, See, a lot of times it's easier to lie to your neighbor. It's just to people, just people. It's easier to just, stay out of a conversation that you don't want to get into when you already messed up. So, no, just tell the truth. Tell the truth. Give yourself an opportunity to love somebody. Amen? I'm serious. Look, give it up. If there's something that's between you and your neighbor, don't hide it. Your friend, your spouse, just have that opportunity. And, and when it comes up, let them know that I messed up. Thank you for forgiving me. All right? So put away lying. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor, and we are members one of another. He's talking mainly about the church. Right? Certainly in the church, because we're members one of another. Be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So don't stay angry. Don't harbor it. Don't let it fester. All right? So when it says don't let the sun go down in your wrath, don't let it fester. Don't let yourself be thinking about how to get back, get even, or, but just let that thing say, no, I'm just going to redeem this thing right now. Let's get it finished up. I don't want to wake up with this thing tomorrow. Whether it's your wife, your kids, whatever it is because sometimes you sin, right? With your spouse or with your kids, kids, sometimes you sin with your mom or dad and you're mad at them. But then before the sun goes down, you want to say, I'm sorry, that was wicked. That was evil. I disrespected you. And I want to make that right. We're putting on Christ, amen? So this is what it looks like. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. That'll cover it all. Is don't give place to the devil. Because the devil will come in and he'll desire to have. Peter, remember Jesus said to the devil, the devil has desired you to sift you, to have you as wheat, to have his way with you basically. Just to do whatever he wants to destroy you. He wants to take you. The devil wants to take control of your life. So, but you have to get, but interesting thing is that he says, you have to give place to it. You have to give place to it. Isn't that interesting? So, don't give place to the devil. Hi, I'm the devil. I'd like a place to stay tonight. Amen. Do I look good? Do I look clean? Just let me in, and I just have some few things I want to share with you. I want to talk to you about. I'd like you to hate this person and spit on this person and divorce this person. Giving place to the devil. What does give place to the devil? It means you're giving him a listen. Giving him a listen. Giving him place to speak into your life. You ever given somebody place to speak into your life that you wish you hadn't? We had a guy come by the door that's an hour I wish I could have got back. I'll put it in the context like there's a salesperson outside. They're good. They got your ear, and boy, you were late to go somewhere else, or you were just late to do something other than taking that hour. And but you didn't want to, you know, hate them or anything like that, you know. So God bless you. You know, what you could do is start preaching to them. Could start praying in other tongues right there. They'd probably get rid of them right there. But no, what you want to do is you don't want to give place to the devil. Write that on you. You know, Robert Muir used to have a little sign on the door. I just remember it to this day. A little sign on the cabinet door. It's just copied, photocopied. You know, it said, pray today. Do you know, I remember seeing that sign to this day. Amen. I remember that sign. I do, Janet. I'll tell you, I remember that sign hanging in that kitchen, in that house, five houses ago. Pray today. Well, here's another one. Give no place to the devil. Maybe you want to put that up in your house. I always tell women to write it in lipstick. I don't know why I tell them that. Write it in lipstick on the mirror. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give him any room. Don't give him a place to stay. Don't give him a bed. You know, don't let him stay overnight. Don't feed him. Don't offer him a cup of coffee. Neither give place to the devil. And how does that look? Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands. Now that's my scripture that says it's ungodly to cut off people's hands when they steal. And Muslims like to do that. But how are you going to work with your hands if you've already cut them off? Just what I see here. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers, that it may minister Jesus to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. As you are opening the Word and reading the Word of God, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you. And He'll begin to tell you things to do. He'll begin to lead you. And He said, Scripture said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? That means when He tells you something, learn to get up and go do it. See, this is practice. This is practice, all right, in the faith. It's just when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, get up. First of all, just get up. Get up and move that direction. I mean, if you can get it done, great. But at least get up and make a direction. Well, the reason I'm telling you that is not so God will like you. Not so you will get a gold star today. Why do your mom and dad teach you? You know, get you up, clean you up, send you to school, send you to college. Why? So you'll have to give to him that needeth. So you'll have a means to feed your own needs, to take care of your needs. Why is God doing this? Because you are the light of the world, and He's teaching you how to be the light of the world, isn't He? He's teaching you how to walk in His presence. He's teaching you how to lay hands on the sick. You remember when Jesus said that? Jesus was telling the disciples, first the 12, then the 70. He said, okay, you guys, don't take any food, don't take any money. Just go out and go out into the towns and villages and go heal the sick. What? Heal the sick? We're not Jesus. We're not the Messiah. How can I heal the sick? No, just do what I tell you. You know what? And you go out and you do what He tells you. You lay hands on the sick. And all of a sudden the sick are healed. Amen. And then they came back, and the devils ran off. You know, they cast out devils, healed the sick, cast the devils, and preached the gospel. Don't just do miracles. Don't just cast out the devil. What's the next thing you do? Preach the gospel. So you're out there, you're preaching the gospel, healing the sick, and you're casting out devils. And then He comes back, and they all excited about doing that, and then He sends out another 70. He sends out another 70. Well, they're not even the 12 apostles. How did he pick those guys out? They were just guys in the crowd. Those are the guys who were just showing up every day. Those were guys that had shown up at the meetings. You know, they were sitting at the front. I guess that's not y'all. They were sitting at the front of the meetings, getting everything they could, because they didn't want anything getting in between them and the Word of God. Amen? They wanted to hear everything that Jesus was saying. They're like Mary. You remember Mary and Martha? Martha, it's good to have food. It's good to have everything organized. But Jesus did tell Mary. He said, tell Martha. He said, you know, Mary has picked the better part. You know, if we never eat, it's fine. If the house isn't perfectly clean, that's fine. What's important is to hear me. What's important is to hear me. Not because Jesus was some kind of full of pride, but it's because he knew he had a message that was necessary. So, you know, that's what you need to also have that. You have to have that knowledge in you, is that you have a message. Walter's got a message that people need to hear. You know, you don't need to think, well, I don't have this or this or this. No, what you do have. It's like Peter and Paul coming down. You know, Peter and Paul went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. You know, he stuck out his palm. He asked for an almond. Here's what Peter did say. Silver and gold. This is how I remember the scripture. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And what happened? He went walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Because here's what, I don't have any, I'm not Jesus. Gee, he went away. But what I do have, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You have the power of God living on the inside of you. This is who you are. Put on Christ. Put him on. Amen. Walk in what he gave you. Walk in the giftings. Walk in the Holy Ghost. Boy, he took a long time to get to that part, didn't he? Praise the Lord. All right, finish up. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. In other words, what is that? Grieve not the Holy Spirit? That is, do what he says. Don't just push him off, push him off, push him off, push him off. Well, I'll do it later. Well, no. Well, I'm afraid. No. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't say, I can't do that. Do what he tells you. What the Holy Spirit says, get up and move that direction. Let him lead you and do it. Let all bitterness, okay, grieve not the Holy Spirit by which you're sealed, because you're sealed by him to salvation. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking but appeal be put away from you with all malice, all the bad attitude, and be you kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Be kind. Don't be irritable, grumpy. Be kind. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I'll read you a couple other scriptures about putting on. Ephesians 6:11, we'll get to it in a couple of weeks. It says, put on the whole armor of God. Romans 13, put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Galatians 3:27, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And Colossians 3:9-12, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created him. Put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved. That's you, holy and beloved. You're holy and beloved. So put on, you elect of God, put on bowels of mercies and the fruit of the Spirit. And Colossians 3:14 says, put on charity. What's that? Unconditional love. Put on unconditional love. Put that on. You can just say it. Just like we say this creed. You know, I believe. That's what you believe. I put on. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. So, you know, put on the helmet of salvation, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, gird your loins with truth. Amen? All of these things. Put them on. These are gifts of God. These are the provision of God. You want to put them on. Amen. Hallelujah. And go put on Christ today. Every day. Put him on every day. Hallelujah. That's what the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are doing. They're teaching you so that you can go out and do the work of the ministry and show you here's what you put. Every day you put on Christ. And I got to do the same thing. Pastor Jim got to do the same thing. Amen. We wake up full of sins and full of bad ideas and full of bad thoughts. Amen. Don't you? Yes, I do. So you wake up and you enter into the presence of God to let Him cleanse you and cause you to walk tenderhearted, being kind to one another. Amen. Knowing that God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven you. Amen. Hallelujah. Larry, why don't you come on up? Amen. Larry's got a few things to share and finish. Yeah, same as usual. Yeah, I cut you off. Father, we just love you. Thank you today for ministering to us by your Spirit. Thank you that the Word of God is alive and powerful and able to change us and transform us. And Father, we just give you glory and give you praise right now. I just pray for this folks, these people. You are my brothers and sisters. That you love them, care for them, bless them, and encourage them today, this week, no matter what issue they may have, no matter what thing that may come up that says, no, I don't want to follow after that. Lord, thank you that you're teaching us, everyone, to put on Jesus Christ. You're teaching us how to do that, and that's by renewing our mind according to your promise and knowing that we have already been born again. We have already been born from above. And that you filled us with your Holy Spirit, and you are now daily transforming us into your image. And we just give you the praise and the thanks for it. If anybody needs to receive Jesus Christ, Lord God, today, let them say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I cast off all deeds of wickedness, all the foolishness that I've ever known, and thank you that you loved me enough to die for me on the cross. Father, I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, and that you'd transform me daily as a child of yours forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.